Oh, that's right. I am so glad that you're here. Go ahead, kick your shoes off, take your coat off. Why are you wearing a coat? It's summertime anyways. And join me for Mark and Friends today. Yes, it's Thursday, this July the 30th. Can you believe it's July 30th? I'm not sure how we got here, but here we are. Yeah, Saturday begins the month of August. My oh my, just time really does fly. It really does. But anyways, hey, I hope you're having a blessed week. I have the wonderful privilege of being the guest host each and every Thursday for Mark and Friends. Really, friend, it's an honor to sit behind this microphone, and I enjoy it each and every week. Well, we got word just a couple of days ago that our son Timothy, who we interviewed last week, he got his dates. He's going to be shipping off to basic training August the 11th. And so we're pretty excited. My wife's having a hard time with that, bless her heart. But we're excited at the end of the day, and we're just trusting God and praying for him, and that he will continue to honor him in all that he does. So I appreciate your prayers and notes of encouragement we've gotten over the last week since having my son in studio last Thursday. It was a good time. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your encouraging notes and emails as well. Well, friend, you are going to be in for a treat today. You know, it's been a long haul this year. It really has, in a lot of different ways. It's been an interesting and a difficult year for many of us. So I thought maybe we could just let our hair down and just laugh. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22 that a cheerful heart is good medicine. And so today for Mark and Friends, we're going to be hearing from Christian comedian Dennis Swamberg. He is just, he's just a funny comedian. He does some voice impressions as well, and he's just real. He really is. So we're going to hear Christian comedian Dennis Swamberg right after this, here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
How marvelous, wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Sorrows and made them his very own. He bore my burdens to Calvary, where he suffered and died alone. How marvelous, ransomed in glory. His face I at last shall see, will be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me.
Well, and I stand amazed. How marvelous. Well, thanks for tuning in to Mark and Friends today. It's Joey Kroll. All right, let's get ready for a good belly laugh here today. Here's Christian comedian Dennis Swamberg and the laughter of a cheerful heart.
My daddy is a disciplinarian type. My daddy, I don't ever remember my daddy saying, wait till you get home. Wait till you get home. He never said that. He disciplined you wherever you committed the sin. If you're in the parking lot, you got it there. If in the vestibule, you got it there. In church, you got it there. At Wyatt's Cafeteria, I remember one time, Wyatt's Cafeteria at Hancock Shopping Center in Austin, Texas, just off of I-35. We were going through the line. As a kid, you know, a six-year-old, why do you do these things? I don't know why you do them. I saw that little bowl of Jell-O had those little Jell-O cubes. I stuffed a couple of them in. Why do you do that? I don't know why I did it. I just sucked a couple of them out. I was going to put it on my tray. Next thing I knew, on my back, a little cube. Just... My daddy discovered the Heimlich and never got credit for it. I remember those days, and it was tough times. We didn't have a lot of money, and I'm glad we did. Because, you know, I can relate to my people better sometimes. I mean, I better sermon illustrations when you didn't have anything growing up. And I can stand out there in the parking lot with my men. You know how men are. They get out in the parking lot and they go, I guarantee you one thing.
We were growing up, we were so poor we couldn't even pay attention.
Well, I can stand out there with them. I said, man, I know. And what we did for entertainment, we would drive down to Austin, we'd drive to Congress Avenue, park in front of the State and Paramount Theaters. They were right next to each other. And we'd watch people line up to go in the movie and watch some come out. Watch another group line up. We'd just sit there in the car, 49 Ford, and just watch people. I remember asking my mother, what are we doing? She said, we're watching people. Now hush. At home, we had our own form of entertainment. We'd tell stories and just, you know, be together. We didn't have a television until I was about 7. And before that, you know, it was just, you know, at home stuff. And but when we got our TV, I remember as a little fella, that was a big day. My daddy came home. He carried that TV in. And he said, don't touch anything. Don't touch it. Boy, and he was really proud. You know, I look back on it now. Boy, he was proud. You know, he'd saved up and had that TV there. And we turned all the lights out. Because black and white, we believed, showed up better in the dark. And we'd just sit there and we'd watch it. Sergeant Bilko, remember. We just watched TV together. And we didn't have central heat or central air. You know, we just had screen windows and screen doors and June bugs would watch TV with us. You know, we were more environmental back then than we are now. Now we have these zapper things in our backyard that just kill every bug that comes around. You know, they think they're going to get a glow and... Back then they just started. We just, you know, we'd thump them off the screen if we got tired of them. Or we'd watch that TV. And I got caught up in it. And I'd watch those old movies that had Slim Pickens in there. Old Slim Pickens. I remember in 1969, it was a tremendous year. Monday Night Football began. For years, preachers never got to see an entire football game on Sunday. Remember Monday night, Howard Cosell? No doubt about it. It's Lanny Dawson back to pass. He throws the bomb to Otis Taylor. Magnificent. Now later, third quarter, once again, Lenny Dawson, the loquacious, abstemious quarterback, once again. Runs to test. Taylor, number 89, magnificent. Oh, those were the great days. And then the boxing matches, Howard Muhammad, no doubt about it, but what about smoking Joe Frazier?
I'm tired of Joe Frazier. They say I'll be smoking, I'll be jabbing and I'll poke. I'll put y'all on and get smoking. Now that they ring that bell, I'm going to jump over the rope and whoop you.
I don't know what to say. Can you? But let me pick on some preachers a little bit. Can you imagine if, remember Paul Lynn, Uncle Arthur on Bewitched, Hollywood Squares? Can you imagine if he'd been a preacher?
Okay, people, listen to me. Oh, I've got a sermon for you. A two-pointer. Turn or burn. Oh, I love it.
Can you imagine if Barney had been a preacher, given the invitation?
You know you need to come on down here. Otis, you know you need to come on down here.
You know, Baptists are great. I mean, the church, isn't it wonderful to be involved in the church? I mean, you have your home, you need to have your church home. But I remember when I was a little nervous about Baptists. I don't mind telling you. I was raised a Methodist, as you remember me telling. I remember going to Baylor University to play baseball. And there I was going to Baylor. I was nervous about going to a church school. I'd always dreamed of going to a state school. But I got there at Baylor University, and I was a little nervous. I figured everybody would be walking around going, "Hello, brother. How are you? Okay." I just figured they'd be that way. I got there, they weren't that way. They're regular. Baptists are regular people. They're sinners just like everybody else. Now, we didn't dance much back then at Baylor. If you did, you had to call it a function. And it had to be off campus. Some could function with an unction, I'm telling you. And so I walked the aisle at Columbus Avenue Baptist Church, Waco, Texas. That's the truth. I walked down the aisle, took the pastor by the hand. I remember him saying, "Yes, what's your decision?" I said, "I want to join up." He said, "Have you been saved? Have you been saved?" I said, "March 15th, 1971, on a Monday night at 8 o'clock. Boy, it's the wise guy being." He said, "Man, that's great. That's great." I said, "That's right." I told him about it. He said, "Great, great." Then all of a sudden, here comes a big question. "Have you been baptized?" I said, "Little dabble, do you?" He said, "Little dab won't do you here." I said, "What do y'all do?" He said, "We immerse you." I said, "Immerse." He said, "Baptizo. Put under to you both." And that night I was up in the baptismal room. A baptismal room is the last thing an architect designs in a building. It's whatever is left over next to the heating units, air conditioning units, box of minutes, an old together we build sign, and a bale of hay from the Christmas cantata. I asked an architect one time, "Why are they such odd-shaped rooms?" He said, "Because if we don't make them odd-shaped, an education man will try to put a Sunday school class in them." Isn't that right? I remember that night I was going to be baptized. Now, you need to understand something. I'd never seen anyone immersed before. I was a Methodist. I'd never seen it. I was going to be the first one I was going to see with my eyes closed, I guess. But I was bold. I got up there, and there, my first encounter with a deacon. He was one of those deacons. He sort of had a big tummy and a short tie. Y'all know what I'm talking about? These are the greatest deacons, these kind right here. They usually give you half a calf at Christmas, you know what I mean? And I got up there, and he said, "Rub up." I said, "Rub up?" He said, "Rub up." I said, "Rub up?" He said, and he was from China Springs, just outside of Waco. He said, "Rub up." I said, "Rub up?" And he finally went, and he pointed to these culotte outfits that are hanging there. I looked at him, I said, "Man, these are culotte outfits." He said, "Rub up." I said, "Rub up? Rub up? Rub up? Rub up?" said, I'm a man. I'm an athlete. I'm a man's man. I ain't never put on a culotte outfit. No.
He said, you need to if you love Jesus.
I said, where does it say that in the Bible? He said, Hezekiah 4. And sounded good to me. You might go home looking it up. I wouldn't advise you to do that, but next thing I knew, I had that culotte outfit on. I had a piece of tape on my left shoulder with my name on it. And I practiced this in my ministry. Because I hate to get out there in the baptistry, forget a name, and go, this is Bubba. This old Bubba right here. You know? So I practiced it. And they put a piece of tape on my left shoulder with my name on it, with an M underneath my name, which stood for Methodist, which meant this one stays under just a little. I'm just kidding. Don't get shook up. Never will forget, I got out there in the water, and they put me underneath the water. Wouldn't let me up until it said tithe. That's how I became a tither. That's my tithing testimony. I have started a new thing in my church. I put them under, and I have them say tithe, and together we build. You know? I became their minister of youth, and I was their minister of youth for 4 years. And then I went to the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. When I was in the seminary, I wanted to learn how to be the best preacher I could possibly be. When I was pastor at First Baptist Church, Saginaw, Texas, on the north side of Fort Worth, just on the north side of the stockyards. I don't remember it being funny, but it was a great ministry there. I was there 5 years. I remember one Easter Sunday, the biggest day in Christendom, Easter Sunday. Amen. Everybody comes to church on Easter. I mean, they come in, they pack it in. I mean, people hadn't been there in years. They come to Easter. They come on Easter. I was ready. I had my sermon ready. I was ready to let the hammer down. I had our high school basketball coach giving his testimony. He was ringing the bell. I mean, he was doing good. I mean, I was almost sitting there and going, sick 'em, baby, sick 'em, baby. You know, you're doing great. Boy, I was getting fired up in the spirit. All of a sudden, water from the ceiling starts dripping on the choir. Our air conditioning units were up in the attic. Condensation pans were overflowing. Water dripping on the choir. You know how choir people are. It is dripping out. So a couple of the men, you know, of the husbands are out there going, yeah, all right, baby. So they get up to go and fix it during the service. All they need to do is turn off the air conditioning units and we'll fix it later. But amen. They're going to go up there and be a hero and get up in the attic and fix it during on Easter Sunday. We could hear them up in the attic. You know, walking around. The coach giving his testimony, he hears. People hear something. I'm sitting there acting like everything's fine, and in my heart I said, I'm going to kill him. You've heard of it happening. It happened. O'Terry came through the ceiling. He crashed through the ceiling right above the baptistry, just whoosh, here he comes crashing through, and he catches himself on these 2x6s. He's torn his pants. He's bleeding. He's hanging for his life. He's trying to step on something. Ain't nothing to step on. You know, he just... And I mean, it scared everybody. Everybody went, oh, oh. And the coach turns, and he has a lavalier on. Only preachers can pray this fast. I remember praying, dear God, don't let him say anything he'd say on the football field. Not that he would, but just in case. And he didn't. But he turned, he saw the guy, and he said this. Now, this made the front page of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He saw him hanging there. He looks at me and says, Brother Diz, we having a healing service on. We just came down the road. And everybody goes, ah! You know, lay people love for things to go wrong in church. They're going, I mean, people hadn't been there in years are going, man, is this what it is every Sunday? I've been missing it. That's not the bad part. This is the tough part. While the guy's hanging there, you can hear the other guy talking to him. Like we can't hear anything. What does he say? But he says exactly this. Can you see anybody? And old Terry, who's hanging there for his life, says, I can see the choir. Two more men go up there and pull him out. And, you know, and he's bleeding and he's hurt and everything. And they take him away. And I got up, I preached, no decisions. So I called on a man that prays long because I knew I needed time to calm down. So when I got to the back, when people come out, I go, well, good to see you. God bless you. Thank you. Great day. He finished praying. The first guy out was a rancher that only came at Easter. This is the truth. Had a big old chew of tobacco in his mouth. Never did spit during the service. We did appreciate that. He came up to me and he said these words, "Brother Dennis, told my wife no need for me to come today. Told her if I did, the roof would cave in, sure enough."
Oh, yes. Christian comedian Dennis Swanberg. Just a great sense of humor, that's for sure. Sharing some of his stories growing up, but also being a pastor as well. Friend, I hope you just laughed your belly off. I certainly did as well. It's, you know, the Bible does say it's good medicine just to let out a good old belly laugh every now and then. Amen. It really is. I really believe there's so much truth to that scripture passage. Hey, just want to quickly remind you, as our time is winding down here, this radio ministry is hosting a special bus trip to Philadelphia coming up later on this fall. If you'd like to get more details on that, just call 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Well, Frank, I'm going to hang up my headphones here and enjoy the rest of my Thursday, and I hope and pray that you enjoy the rest of yours as well. Until next time, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.